A dead set revolving door of guests today. Plenty on, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, mate. A bit of Gordy Tallis, a bit of Paleo Pete, guys. That was good.
Bit of Bernard Fanning, our real rock and roll star from Brisbane.
And we're going to talk about when I fell asleep. That was a bit
embarrassing. And let's not forget, that was great. In the car, that was great. And let's not forget The Real Housewives of Marto.
Let's not forget.
Really nice stuff from Kath about Marto. That was cute. I liked it.
Yeah, right.
Met you on the dance floor, huh?
Yeah,
you'd have been dancing.
She's already rung.
What was the dance of the time?
And?
The vibe's not good.
Oh, why?
What? Really?
Lucky I've got to go away this evening.
Oh, I thought
well,
it was
because
nice.
Your responses, not because what she said.
No, because I mentioned the perm, I think.
Well, fair enough. Was, I mean, no, we all was, wanted to look I like Kylie the, Minogue in the 80s, but, you
when
know.
When I review what I said about her, I said the rum and coke that she gave me overcame how bad the perm looked. I shouldn't have said that.
Mm, I tried to give you the heads up to make it right, but no, you weren't taking the bait.
You were so close.
I know.
So close.
Could have pulled one off there.
Oh, well, you haven't. Enjoy the catch-up.
It's going to be a long weekend.
We're not here on Monday, so don't look for the catch-up on Monday because there ain't going to be one.
Oh,
but we'll be back Tuesday. Will you?
You might as well, eh?
Do some stuff.
Yeah. Get out of home.
What gear have you got?
What
gear have you got? What are you bringing?
By then, jeez.
Huh? Not just smorgasbord.
Yeah, there'll be lots happening.
You got nothing.
I'll tell you what you can do on Monday. I'm releasing my latest team effort, my other Triple M podcast.
Hello. Oh, yeah.
Myself, Tony Martin's on, so is Jane Kennedy.
Oh, they're properly talented. You lucky bastard.
Yeah. Excellent details from the castle back in the day. We got some details from the set, never before released.
Wow.
Bit of my friend Ash Williams in there as well, so it's a good, pretty decent hashtag. That's on your Triple M feed as well.
A few people have stopped me, Ed, and said it's quite a fantastic podcast as well. They've been listening to it. They love it. Haven't heard it myself, living my life, but I agree with them. I'm sure it's great.
Do you know what? Hey, Breno, four hours a day with me, I think the last thing you want to do is go home and go, geez, I wouldn't mind a bit more Ed Cavalier's fucking voice in my ear.
Enjoy the catch-up. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Oh, this is exciting because we have the one and only from My Kitchen Rules, Paleo Pete, with us. And Paleo Pete, it's finally time for the grand final.
Oh, my God. Oh, finally. This show has been going since the tennis. Do you remember tennis? It started about 7.5 years ago, I think. I think Leighton Hewitt's even sick of it. Do you know that this show was actually meant to go for another 5 weeks, but Channel 7 stopped it.
Why?
They couldn't find a suit to fit Manu. They were going to have to start using moo-moos and tents from Better Homes and Gardens.
So who do you think will win, Paleo Pete?
It's MKR. There are no winners. Not the useless contestants or the viewers. The only winners are the people who love Paleo Pete, which is everyone. And the winners, the real winners, is the Burger King drive-thru that Manu goes to on the way to and from homework every single day. He's smashing on the little thing when they open. Good morning, Manu here. Can I have a Whopper for breakfast?
Okay. I think we've overlooked. Well, let's not forget everybody. They're two Queensland couple, two Brisbane groups who are going in the grand final. So let's be conscious of that. Now, Paley.
Oh, yeah, let's be conscious of that. Wow, that wasn't set up at all. Maybe look into the figures. Are we struggling in Queensland? Oh, that's not a conspiracy theory at all. What?
Paley, will you be back next season? You sound a bit down.
Look, I can say this here on Triple J. I will be back, but only because the public loves me, and I can see why. I'm so interesting, and my teeth are whiter than a polar bear's ass, but I will only do the show. Shush. I will only do the show if Channel 7 provide me with goggles.
Goggles? Why goggles?
So when my new shirt buttons explode, I don't go blind. There's eye patches everywhere. It looks like the Pirates of the Caribbean on our set.
So mean to him.
Thank you so much.
Because he's so fat, you see. He's fat.
We get it.
I've got a cold because I accidentally I broke my paleo lifestyle and I had a bite of one of his Yoplait and it's poisoned Paleo Pete.
You'll lose more weight.
I need a paleo enema.
Grand final on Sunday. Thanks, Pete.
Okay, so we did this a couple of weeks ago where I went into the personal lives and homes of Ed and Marto and I spoke to Tiff and had a lovely chat and learned heaps about you, Ed, and your fixation with buffets and the fact
there.
You seriously don't know anything about babies.
Nope.
Nope.
And so it was now Mardo's turn.
Yeah.
Okay, now we had the first conversation yesterday, and despite your nerves, I think you came out okay, despite the fact that we learnt that you nude swim every day.
Yeah, Kath under-exaggerated a little bit. She could have been really nasty. She was quite nice to me.
Well, I think she's going to be even nicer today.
What are you talking to her about?
I came to your house. I sat down with her out the back while little Teddy, the dog, was desperate for us to throw the Frisbee. Oh, and I'm saying that because you will hear Teddy throughout these interviews.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I just got, and I said to her, be as honest as you can. She was a little nervous. But
she was really
gorgeous.
Nervous because she didn't know what you were going to do.
Okay, well, I started by saying, what do you guys fight about?
He's very short-tempered, blows his fuse a lot, but as fast as he blows it, he recovers. So whereas I tend to sort of, if we have an argument or he blows a fuse, I just sort of sulk a bit, whereas he's back to normal within 20 seconds, which can be a bit annoying.
Yeah, it's like nothing happened, nothing to see.
Nothing happened, big smile on his face, doesn't even remember the flare-up, but that's all right.
That's pretty true, isn't it?
That's fair, mate. That's absolutely fair.
Kath hangs on to one from the 90s that we had. And I, mate, is that just typical, isn't it?
What was it about? Was it a classic Melrose Place Party of Five fight?
Mm. Yeah.
Which is better?
Yeah.
Do you go and apologise?
Hey?
Do you go, well, so, yeah. Hey, what? Yeah. Sorry? Did I say the sorry word?
No, I do.
Do you?
And it's all done.
Okay.
Yeah, I go, well, no, it was only brief.
Love that.
Do you see red? Do you get, like, when your brain goes?
No. Mostly it's frustration at someone's being technically inefficient and they've wasted my time. That's normally what my blues are about.
Okay. Yeah. And you do
dealing
that
with idiots, that's normally. You've seen me around here. If there's an idiot gets in my way, that's when I blow
yeah,
up.
But we're all idiots at some point, according to you.
Correct.
Okay. So then we moved on to softer subjects. And I asked her, what are you like as a hubby?
He's divine. He's my best friend. He's the most loyal, kind, generous person. He's a fantastic father. I'm just blessed that I met him.
Oh my God. She's got a future. She is a keeper.
So she's turned it around from yesterday where you were saying she may be out on her ear.
No, she's all right.
Look at you.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, that's money. That's a ring.
He's got a big smile on your face. Look
mate, we're married
Mardo.
25 years this year.
I know, but how nice is that?
Yeah,
she said you're still her best friend.
That'll do me. She hasn't said that to me for quite some time.
That's very cute.
Do you want a chance, Mardo? Now's the time if you want to say anything nice about her.
Love you too. That's how we deal with things.
Okay.
There you go.
Righto. Love you too.
That's beautiful.
So then I thought, well, let's go back to the beginning. Let's actually find
Ed
out.
Ed knows some of this story.
About the moment story. That they met. So I asked, how did you meet him?
Cafe Neon. Remember the old Cafe No One? I'd won $600 at the races and I was really sad because I'd just broken up with my boyfriend and I saw Greg on the dance floor and I knew him because he was the boarding house master of my brother at Grammar and I knew of him and I remember looking at him just thinking, oh, I'm just going to approach him. And I went up to him and I said, would you like a rum and coke? And he said, I'd love one. And that was it. Thought he looked like Pat Cash, and Pat Cash was playing Wimbledon that year. And I said to him, you remind me of Pat Cash. And as they say, the rest is history.
She was a few in, was she?
She picked you up, Mardo.
Hey.
Your wife picked you up.
It was a magic. I might have been on the dance floor, but I came out of the toilet and she was there. She had a perm and I still went for her. That's what I do mention.
Again, I am going to say.
She was a 21-year-old with a perm.
Okay, we all had perms in the 80s. Leave her alone.
Two rums she had.
Right, okay. So had you noticed her?
I was going nowhere then. Hey?
Had you noticed her?
No, I met her sister.
Okay,
yes. She had six of them.
Oh
my
God, you're dumb.
What?
Say yes, you'd noticed her before. Just say yes.
No, because she said that a bit. She reckoned that she'd met me a couple of times. Well, she'd seen me.
Yeah, but do you remember her? You thought she was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that night?
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. That night. That was the night Pat Cash played. I'll tell you the exact night. The 1987 Wimbledon final. She thinks I look like Pat Cash. Yeah, never been apart since that night.
Hey,
we went home together.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, she lived about 200 metres from me. It was geographically convenient. Everything just fell into place when we were together.
And she drank rum.
She drank rum. Yeah, there's been some lows and highs based on that.
Okay, I still think that for such a blokey bloke, it's slightly hilarious that your wife picked you up.
Oh, is that what you mean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I never thought about it like that.
But she did.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Wait, were you just clueless about women?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh.
Well, I still am. That's why I'm still with her.
Oh, my God. Don't help yourself,
but what
Marto.
A good way. What a yeah, good way to be when your wife picks you up. There's nowhere you need to go then.
Okay. Yep.
I don't think it happens very often, though.
Well, let's find out. When did your missus pick you up?
Yeah.
Mick of Deception Bay. What do you know?
How you going?
Did your missus pick you up?
Yeah, mate, yeah, yeah.
What happens?
Well, it was a funny story. I've been wanting to get with her for about 8 or so years, and I was with my mate, and she had to come pick us up from his mate's house. So she's taken us back to my place, and they left, and about 15 minutes later, I got a text message from my mate saying, oh, my sister thinks you're hot, rah, rah, what do you reckon? And I'm going, yeah, giddy up, and put that on. And then I find out that she's texting off my mate's phone while he was asleep in the passenger side. So that was, I thought that was really cool. And we're still together and we got a little six-year-old. He'll be 7 in May and things are going awesomely.
That's great, Mick. I love that she did that. And so she got to see what you were like. She got to see what you were like because you thought you were talking to your mate. You see what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's clever.
But I was very happy, and I'm still happy today, and it's good.
Good on you, Mick. Good on you, Mick. Okay. I like story. Mick. That's good. That's very modern.
Boys are quite simple creatures, aren't you,
that's
Kane?
That's exactly. You've got to remember that.
I know. I'm learning it. Kane of Shayla Park. Did your missus pick you up?
Hey, how's it going? She picked me up at her 21st birthday party.
At her own? Were you an invitee or bouncer? Gatecrasher?
No, I was invited. We worked together we've been working together for 3 or 4 months, and from the way she told me, she had her eye on me for a while, invited me along, and, had an elaborate plan to pick me up.
So what did she do? What did she say? Hey. How did it work?
Well, basically, she bowed herself off to give herself some liquid courage, as it was.
Yeah.
And just spilled her feelings to me, and,
That's lovely.
We've been together for about 4 years so far.
Oh, good Lane.
That's great work. Now, Kane, what had you done to be such an incredible stud that she had to have you?
Honestly, I have no idea. We were just having chats at work and doing that kind of
just
stuff.
You were available and communicating. Now, can I just ask a question from a female perspective to you blokes? Mm-hmm. Are you okay when women do actually want to have D&Ms with you? Like, is that something that is an all right thing to happen? Or I thought that was going to be
No. It's all right.
It's fine. Yeah. But hang on. Are we going out or are we just at work? Or if I,
Kane just said, you know, like his partner got a bit sort of drunk so that she had the courage to kind of tell him how she felt. And I just wonder whether, as blokes, you like it when we as your partners or women in your world are expressing our feelings to you.
If you were to hand me a rum, I've got all the time in the world.
Okay, righto.
All the time in the world to listen.
Okay. Yeah.
Until it's finished, at least. Yeah,
and then I've just got to go to the bar and I may not come back.
Are you the same? No, you don't even drink.
Nice.
Yeah, no. Me, it's got to be more like a buffet or something. If you want me to really sit down.
Okay.
You have to be there for
if
a while.
It's about the Barcelona midfield, he'll give you a few minutes of his time.
This is a fun game to play on a Friday because potentially I'm going to put a tune in your head and it will stay with you all weekend because Billboard magazine have come out with the 100 greatest choruses of the 21st century. So we're talking the last 17 years.
Righto.
Okay, so these are recent songs. Now, of all the 100, I was struggling a little to find songs that we would potentially play, but there are some good ones. At number 63, Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire. Good chorus.
Catchy.
There you go. Okay.
Love that one.
Number 26, The Darkness, I Believe in a Thing Called Love.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's giving me my shotgun stuff.
Yeah, that won't stick in your head. That'll just annoy you.
I love that one. What number was that? Most catchy?
Okay, that's number 26.
Yeah, I love that song.
But we're talking catchy. We're not talking favourite.
No,
we're talking
the ones that just stick with you because you kind of go, oh, yeah, I know that song. I want to sing along to it. Number 5.
When are you going to get to it? Here we go. I can guess.
What? Okay.
Number five will be Narangba Timbers. Cut the prices down.
Ads are different.
Yeah, ads are different. And we should actually play that game next Friday.
Yeah,
but
I like that.
Number 5, Jimmy Eat World, The Middle.
No, that sounds like that other one.
I love that. Number 5. Yes. And that's where the glory of the Triple M network leaves us with these music choruses.
The rest of them girly
because
girl.
Because I'm going to give you the top three, none of which I think you're going to be overly thrilled about, but it would be very remiss of me if I didn't.
No, we might have heard of them.
No, you would have heard them. I'm not quite sure you're going to like them. Number three, Mr. Brightside, The Killers.
We play this. We play this. We love this.
I always bop my head on this one.
Great song.
Okay. Okay, the next two, not so much. Number two. Wait for it. No.
Pink. We played it.
No, Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, Pink. Yeah, that's all right.
Really? Yeah, wow, I'm learning about you guys. Okay, let's see if you like the first. Yeah, this is... Oh, you even know the words, Ed Cavalier. Wow, look at you go. Okay, the number one song that has been voted by Billboard magazine as the greatest chorus of the 21st century is... Hey, I just met you.
Is that Carly Rae Jepsen?
I actually really like this song, but then I'm the chick in the room. How you going there, boys?
Are you joking?
No,
that's
it.
That okay. So it's 21st century. So when people start ringing up saying Bohemian Rhapsody, no, because that's the century.
Yeah,
before.
That's
so
the 20th.
This is just since the year 2000.
17 years.
That wouldn't even be in the top 1,000. Like it's
but it's stick in your ear. That's all they're talking.
That is the one that people retain and then regurgitate whether they like it or not. Let's do it again. Come on, Brenda.
Who's wandering around singing this?
Just to really instill it.
I'm into it.
Yeah, there we go. I like Carly Rae Jepsen.
So, Carla, do you wander around going, here's my number, so call me baby?
Call me maybe.
Oh, is it maybe?
Yeah.
If you want. Call me maybe.
Call me maybe, yeah.
Try that, do it again.
Hey, I just met you.
Yeah, met you.
Yeah.
And this is crazy.
Yeah. Isn't it?
But here's my number.
Yeah.
So call me maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You're right. And also, it's actually not that crazy. Like, she's given in the number and said, maybe call me. That's actually not that crazy.
That's what happened.
Well, should we go to the real number one?
Oh.
The real number one.
Oh, the Ed Cavalier number one, yes.
No, this was, as voted by Billboard readers, the greatest chorus of all time, Bohemian Rhapsody number three, Back in Black number two, and at number one... Yeah.
Everybody,
none of those others. See, none of those other
have got a cigarette ad in there.
Yeah.
None of them.
353 is the number you can call anytime you like. Real Housewives of Marto and Ed, that is returning after 7:30. We got a little peek into Marto's personal life yesterday. Continues, Robin.
Oh yes, the heartthrob that is Greg Martin.
We don't need any more peeking. There was nudity revealed yesterday. No more peeking.
Yeah, now it's romance, and it's from your lovely wife, Kath, so we know it's true.
How romantic is Marta? We're going to find out just after 7:30.
Guys, Stan, you know the subscription, it's Netflix and Stan. Yeah. What Stan's doing, which is awesome, is they're getting together some of Australia's best stand-up comedians, and they're putting on their shows, their specials, which is awesome. So Will Anderson's got one, Celia Pakola, Tom Ballard, Sam Simmons, Judith Lucy, and our next guest... His show is called Great. It is the great Tom Gleeson. G'day, buddy.
G'day. How are you? Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Now, guys, Tom and I don't want to go on and on about us both being at the Logies.
You can.
No, go, Ron.
Did you have a good time,
you've brought
Tom?
It up. But, Robin, you've brought it up. Do you know what I mean?
Hey, Tom, ask Ed. He's got it just there. You're sitting next to him. Pull it out, Ed. Pull it out.
Come on.
There is a Logie in my bag.
Oh, yeah, that's a great Logie. Oh, that is fantastic. I believe that's the one that should have gone to The Weekly with Charlie Pickering.
Oh, that's a slap in the face.
But instead it went to Channel 10 and their remarkable social media skills. Yeah, very good.
Right. Not bitter interested.
Very good at linking, sharing and hashtagging. But, you know, we were busy making TV. But, yeah, good luck to you.
The bitterness.
Tom, give me your greatest moment from the Logies. Just one little story, some anecdote. Who did you go to the toilet with? You know, any of those sorts of things?
You know, the most exciting thing for me was I was sitting at my table with all my colleagues having a great time, and then Ed Cavalier crawled across the showroom floor at my feet and kissed my hand as if he was saying hello to a king.
Look,
and I patted him on the head and I said, "It's great to have you in the industry, little fellow."
Little fellow. I did come over and say hello to you. I made a special beeline to come and say hello to you.
Yeah, Tom,
it
Gleeson. Made his way to me.
That's right.
I remember that
because I was just shocked that there was an ABC table so close to the stage. I asked them to freshen my drinks before I realised who they were. I couldn't believe it, Tom Gleeson.
Well, it was a very commercial occasion. I couldn't believe I was there. I thought, I'm a taxpayer-funded joke. I don't need to be in this profit-making place. What's going on here?
This casino? What am I doing here?
It was embarrassing. I was just surrounded by people contributing to society. I thought, this is not what I do. I'm normally a drain on resources. I'm not comfortable here at all.
Hey, you're in your show, in Great, on Stan. Do you talk about your parents who own a motel?
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a Fawlty Towers kind of arrangement because essentially my parents... They went into semi-retirement and they run a motel in the beautiful town of Marimbula in New South Wales.
Right, because Mato's always threatening to retire to the coast. Now, Mato, is Marimbula on one of your hit lists?
No, it's a bit too far down, but it's magnificent. Tom, can I ask, just in terms of my knowledge, is it one where you drive in and you park right in front of your door?
You got it in one, Mato. That's exactly what it's like. Wow. Yeah. You park right there. They run nine different rooms.
Okay.
And you can stay there.
It's virtually a motor inn, isn't it?
That's right. Mm. Pretty much a motor inn. Mm. But the thing is, my parents, because they came to hospitality late in life,
yes.
I can't say they've got a passion for the industry.
Oh, really?
What does that mean, Tom? How does that manifest?
It's very unhelpful.
Well, it's the kind of place where you go to relax, and you look on every wall and there's a sign telling you what to do.
Oh, I love those. In the little sleeves, printed out in the little sleeves.
They got all the classics. You'll know this one. Do not leave the air conditioner on when you leave the room.
Definitely
don't
not.
Don't do that.
No, that costs money.
It's expensive.
That sure
you
is.
You should be worried about our finances.
Should you? Yeah, absolutely.
Another one is, this is my favourite.
Yeah,
we care about the environment. Yeah. So
towels.
If you are happy to reuse your towels, leave them on the rack.
I hate leaving them on the rack.
I hate that. You know why I don't like it? Because I know my parents, and I know both of them don't give a shit about the environment. Just put up a sign saying, "I cannot be bothered washing the towels." I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, there you go. We can't be stuffed. Use them again. Yeah. Now, one last question before we let you go. It's been revealed on this program through Marto's wife. This week by Robin, that Marto every day goes for a nude swim.
Oh. Now, what's that got to do with it?
Is there a pool at this motel?
There is a pool at this motel.
What is the rule on nude swimming?
I remember my parents cracked it once because there were people who were naked in the pool, and Mum pulled out the spotlight, shone it on them. Oh,
no nude bombies.
like she was trying to get a possum out of a tree. Get out of it!
Get out of it! We can see your ass. All right, Mr. Gleeson, it is on Stan. The show is called Great. Get on board and have a look. Tommy Gleeson's shows are always fantastic. Good to see you, mate.
Thank you.
Don't know if I would be staying at his parents' motel.
But you wouldn't know it was his parents' motel. And that is the glory of a dump motel.
What a great source of material having a motel would be. I took Hilly down recently, down to Sydney. We stopped at Ballina, pulled into the motor inn. It was Friday night. The Reds, it was nearly half time of the Reds game. I pull in. We had trouble finding a hotel, motor inn to start with. Go check in. And the bloke went, "It's you." I went, "What do you mean?" The rugby guy didn't know what my name was. The rugby guy. I went, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, put your bags up. You got to come and meet. You got to come up and see Dad." So he sent the dad was watching the rugby. Reds were playing, and Hilly and I ended up for 20 minutes having a beer with the father of the bloke who was running the hotel in their little room. Watching the footy with them. They're just weird motor inns. Motor inns are a weird place to meet people, full stop.
Do you want to get some stories?
Nice. That sounds nice, but I'm after dumps.
Where you've got an exotic disease because you slept on a mattress.
I want to widen it out. It could be a hostel overseas. It could be a motel. It could be a so-called hotel. I keep hearing that there's all these Airbnb scams overseas now where they show one picture and then when you get there, you're staying in a chicken coop.
Yeah.
In
my sister had one of them. The cat gave birth to a litter of kittens.
While she was staying there?
Yeah. She's serious.
Oh, they changed Easter for that. Oh, that's
hilarious.
Right, worst dump hotel you've ever stayed in?
Any dump you've stayed in.
Darren of Manly, where was this dumpy place?
I was in a place called the Hotel St. Clair in downtown Vancouver.
Okay, and what made it so dumpy?
Well, it was the middle of winter. There was holes in the floor, so you could see the rooms downstairs.
What?
Yeah, the bed what? Sheets. The bed sheets were visibly stained. No.
Stop it!
Oh my god.
The bed sheets were. Hang on. When you say visibly stained,
yeah,
do you
could
mean
walk in? You could walk. Yeah, you could walk in the room, and there was just stains all over it. So we just luckily had some sleeping bags and. Yeah, and then to top it off, we had some drug deals going on out the front.
Yeah,
so,
excellent. How much did you get? How much was it, Darren?
Well, I paid for the trip, mate. So.
Yeah, well done. What okay, here's one.
One night, Darren. One night only.
Yeah, definitely. It was a last minute thing before the easy booking for accommodation. So it was
this is true, isn't it? This is the old days when you used to have to take a punt on places when you didn't know, when you couldn't tell.
You walked the streets and just went to your room and went, oh, well.
Well, here we are. Richard of Marsden, tell us about the dumpy place you've stayed in.
Yeah, we were on a road trip in the States and we stayed in a motel at El Paso on the Mexican border, and a bit like that sleazy hotel in Leaving Las Vegas with Nicolas Cage. We had a back door, a front door, the walls were paper thin. Ed talked about gunshot holes.
Yeah.
And there was, I think it was a drug deal going on next door. And so my partner and I, my girlfriend and I, slept on the floor in case there was shots fired.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Could you hear them in next door? Were they speaking Spanish or not?
Yes, they were. And then we went to go up the road to a Mexican restaurant, and the bloke said, don't walk, drive your car. And we only had to go like 500 metres, and they're saying, don't walk.
Yeah, beautiful.
How much was it to stay in there? Do you remember?
Actually, we stayed in a lot, and that was probably the best value because they supplied breakfast, and it was the dumpiest place out of them all. It was probably like about $70 American, I think, back in 2010.
That's a bargain, Richard. That is an absolute bargain. That's like, yeah.
The swimming pool had maximum occupancy 70, and it was about 8 foot by 10 foot wide.
It was a challenge, mate. It was a challenge, Richard. You know, try and get 70 in there. That's fantastic.
But Ed, where did you stay? There were gunshots.
Oh, I was in New York, and I went there with my brother. My brother's he's a New Yorker, and so he was like, "Oh, well, take you to New York for the first time." I was like, "Oh, that's great." And we went there, and the house that we were going to stay in got flooded. And so we had to find somewhere like that day. And we ended up at this place. And I remember we walked in, and there was a guy, but we were waiting to check in. And the guy in front of us was with a girl. And he goes to the guy at the front desk, he goes, "Hey, man, how much for a night?" And the guy behind the front desk goes, "Oh, $100. And he looks at the guy at the front desk. He looks at the girl he's with. He turns back to the front desk and goes, "How much for an hour?"
We have Lyndall of Logan Central. Where was it, Lyndall?
I was actually in a place called Wayside in Lao.
Okay.
And what's the major problem? What made it a dump?
Well, first of all, you wouldn't have walked in without shoes on because it was just that gross on the floor. The toilet leaked when you flushed it. There was no stoppage when you used the basin in the bathroom, and the shower leaked it all. So it all sort of pooled in one corner of the bathroom.
Lovely.
Sheets were stained, so you didn't lie on them. We all slept on our towels on top of the beds.
Yeah.
There was underwear on the windowsill from previous people, I would believe. And the wooden furniture that was in there was so bad. They don't have twist top beer over there, so we could open our beers on the furniture and you wouldn't have any idea that you'd even done it.
That's beautiful. What a lovely
place.
Cultural experience.
You
Thank
are
you, Lyndall.
Officially head of Laos tourism.
Thanks, yes, Lyndall. Wow. And Adam of Carina, where was the place you stayed? How bad was it?
In Gladstone. It sounds like the regular dump that you guys are all talking about there, but across the way there was a lady practicing the art of, the world's oldest profession.
Yeah. Oh, inside the place,
hotel.
Mate.
Yeah, so we would, as we got shipped up there for work, so we're all having a drink after work, and we would have bets on how long the Johns would last.
Yeah, now that's a lovely evening, Adam. And some people, Adam. Some people play Keno, some people don't. That's just the way life is. Thank you, Adam.
But I can tell you because I have a girlfriend who's a madam, and she will go into regional towns and hire out a hotel room for a week.
Yeah.
But the whole concept is that if you're going for sort of minors or that sort of stuff, you don't want to go into a salacious hotel.
Right,
you want it to be on the lowdown, so people don't feel awkward walking in and out.
That is fair, and it gives Adam and his mate something to bet on. So here's Scotty from Mount Warren Park. Where was the dump, mate?
My wife chose the place in New York, and it was a great picture. We pull up there, and there's an adult shop on one side and the crappiest subway I've ever seen on the other.
Oh.
You had to go between two buildings, okay? You go between two buildings, you get to this place. You could choose either room. There's a lot of rooms there, but there's only two left. We went up there. If you went to sit on the toilet, you had to have your foot in the shower recess.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The plumbing was hanging off the wall, and I get a bit of fresh air. I open the window. There's a block brick wall right outside.
Yep. That's New York.
So, we've been a big flight. We'll go for a sleep. Someone turned the light on in the room next door, and it shone through at the top of that room like it'd been a petition room.
And
he was snoring. So I went to lay down. I'm going, I feel itchy. So I couldn't sleep.
Oh, bed bugs.
Two days before New Year's Eve. So we went and found a Best Western, and I got stitched up for $400 a night for two nights there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but anything to get out of the dodgy.
And they were renting rooms out by the hour, we found out later on.
We're hearing a lot of that.
There's a lot of that going on, Scotty.
Technique.
Thank you all.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, even if you didn't watch the footy last night, 32-18, you probably heard it on the news. The Broncos won. They were ahead. Oh God, were they ahead 18-0 or 20-0 at half time? It was all over by then.
Yep. Panthers tried to come back. Like they did a couple
those
in a row.
Poor Panthers. You know what? That was in the first 8 or 10 minutes when Peter Wallace was he was over the line, got the ball knocked out by,
Maguire.
Maguire, yes. It went backwards. It went to Tamo. He dotted the ball down. It was quite clearly a try.
Mm.
No try by the referee on the field. Then the bunker said no try. Now, we got Sturlo, Brad Fittler, Darren Lockyer, and Wally Lewis in the commentary box. Unfortunately, got a pinhead called Ray Hadley there, spoils the whole thing. But those four all went, well, that's a try. And there they are, four of the greatest men who have ever played rugby league. If they say it's a try, who are these little knuckleheads in the bunker who knock it down? Anyway, that broke the Panthers' heart, that one moment. And the Broncos just went bang, bang, bang.
I was fist pumping. You should have seen me. I was really excited. And imagine having James Tarmow as any time try scorer and getting dudded with that. He would have been at $20.
What would that have paid? You're right. I was disappointed for the Panthers. I was really shattered going, oh, well. And you could just see the whole body language. And then James Roberts. He is the fastest thing
in
any Australian football code.
But he's hurt now. And
that's 75th minute, knucklehead Hadley told us.
Well, that's James Roberts down, boys, and I think he's taken a knock to the knee from one of his players. Let's have a look at it here. Gillett. It's going to hurt. Friendly fire.
Ankle, not knee,
so
by the looks
of it. Now, it doesn't look good, sadly. No. We never like Platt Mutter. We never, and particularly yourself with your own history.
He's been scoring rogue tries, random tries out of nothing. He has been scoring these tries that has been allowing the Broncos to win games. We're in a bit of strife.
Which we don't love. No one likes to see an injury, but a little part of me was... I believe he was going to be picked for New South Wales, and I believe that he could have been a game winner, Robin, for New South Wales.
We haven't got anyone as quick as him.
Okay, so what? Silver lining.
Ed's painted
to
a
blue
cloud. Yeah.
Well, mixed feelings, but also you don't like to say that because you don't like seeing players injured, and you should have to beat the best players from the other state.
Yeah,
whether or not they've attempted something with a dog or not. Not saying James Roberts has.
This was a nightclub issue.
Young Mitchell.
But I can also...
He's so fast, I'm now prepared. Remember at the time when there was that Gold Coast nightclub incident? I said, I don't care if he's the fastest player. Well, I now am prepared to... Yeah, he is that fast.
Oh, is that how...
He's so fast that incident.
That's the scale, Robin, you've always got to have with rugby league players. What off-field indiscretion would I forgive because they are that good? That's a little game you have to play in your head. You know what I mean?
Well, there is a potential off-field... I wouldn't call it an indiscretion, but a divergence that may, in fact, hurt Nate Miles.
What is it?
Toddler head.
Oh. That's not what you were calling
Let's go with Queensland stalwart name.
But have you ever seen the size of his head? It's like a two-year-old. You know how their head's just a bit too big for their body?
He's just got...
Okay, anyway, he's a great Queenslander. When we were talking to Kevy, Kevy was saying he's going to play in the Queensland side,
almost fell over, Ed. I can't believe that. He's on our whiteboard because Kev Walters said he has to pick him. He's an Origin player.
Anyway, he'll need a distraction because his wife's heading to LA to audition.
Now, his wife is Tessa James, who used to be on Home and Away, and she had an illness. And she came back from that, which was absolutely fantastic. And it's great to see her back working again, because I know she has started doing some acting again. Mm-hmm. But you're telling me, Robin, that she's going off to do, which I have done many years ago, and many of my friends have done. I've got friends who are leaving in a couple of months. I've got friends that are going over to go and give LA a crack.
When's she going?
Well, it says here that she's got new US management, and she's going to go in June.
State of Origin is on May 31, June 21, and July 12th, from memory.
Yeah, she's going for 6 weeks.
That's the whole of the Origin campaign.
That's bad, because he'll have to be on Skype with his wife at all weird times because she's in America. And then the worst possible
he'll be lonely. He may have a drink. He may wander the corridors.
Don't do that.
Where's the toilet?
Don't do that.
What? Will Kayla Boyd be going?
To audition.
What a wonderful idea.
Take Kayla with you.
I'm really worried about Nate here because...
Which part?
Let's just say that the first game of Origin.
Will he pull out? Like, if your wife is having a baby, I can't play, guys. My wife's going to LA. I'm going to have to go with her.
So the squad's it's a game three. It's a decider, and the squad's all together. And King Wally Lewis is giving an inspirational speech. Mm. Meanwhile, Nate Miles is in LA in a cafe with his wife and Hugh Sheridan. It's a future I don't want to imagine. Don't make it. Oh, my God. Is that Blair McDonough? Get him a kombucha.
Tell you what. I was listening to the news yesterday. Channel 10 announced a $232 million loss. And they got their boss.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Oh, you won two Logies. Now, this isn't at any stage pinpointing you or your wonderful show. Have you been paying attention? This is just news, and it's interesting. Their boss came out yesterday and go, "Ooh, we might have kind of be in trouble." Now, as everyone know, James Packer owns nearly 10%. So does Lachlan Murdoch, and that Bruce Gordon, the guy, he was a childhood magician. Let's just put it that way. But now he's a very wealthy man. They've all gone, listen, we'll guarantee everything will be all right, because that's what Channel 10 need to move on.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So now, then I see another story where Channel 10, they own the Big Bash, or they own the rights to it and paid Cricket Australia.
It's huge.
And we've been hearing lately, Channel 9 are going, we want the Big Bash as well as everything else we've got. Well, now Channel 10 this morning are gone, we might buy the whole thing, Test Cricket, One Dayers and Big Bash. And you go, where the hell do they get the money for this? What is going on with Channel 10? So I got hold of a media analyst, because I can't figure all this out. And he's one of the main men in Australia who seems to know everything that's going on. Peter Cox, who media analyst. Welcome, mate.
Good morning, guys.
Peter, we're talking about, would that be a good idea, Channel 10, rather than going, we're in a bit of a dodgy spot in other ways, why don't we splash out, get all of the cricket? Would that be a good idea?
Well, that's what they'd love to do. But the only way you could really do that is if Murdoch, and therefore News Corp, went through Foxtel, took over Channel 10, then owned all of them together, then they could afford to go for all the cricket and try and take it off Nine.
Oh, and Fox Sports would love that, because then it drives more subscribers and the money that they've had to pay would be paid back.
Absolutely. So they'd love to do that, and they'd like to put their Sky News into 10 and replace the 10 News. So that would work well too.
How likely is that, though?
Well, look, you know what? They have to work on the government, because they can't at the moment do it. They need some change in legislation to be able to own all of that. But, if you're going broke, that would be their big argument would be, hey, listen, we're going out of business. unless you let us do this. That's going to put the government in a tricky position, and the ACCC would put them in a tricky position as well. So I think that's what the long-term big ball is.
So, Peter, is free-to-air TV on the way out? Because you keep on hearing occasionally a story, they're all gone eventually, because no kids are watching it.
No, that's the problem. The younger kids aren't watching it. It's an old people's market. It's us baby boomers that have been left watching it. So, yes, free-to-air. Look, all over the world, both in America and Australia, you keep on looking at all the programming coming through and the numbers are dropping of the number of people watching. And what's happening is that Google and Facebook are eating their breakfast on them, right, by taking away the advertising from that segment. It happened to the newspapers. You know, you've all seen that, destroy the newspapers. Now it's happening to TV.
Peter Cox, a media analyst, talking about the proposed changes to the cricket rights and the broader context. So this is the one that always makes me feel a bit weird, Peter, is that I look at other sports around the world. I look at the NBA. I look at the English Premier League. I look at other soccer leagues. And the wages in those leagues and the salary caps keep going up because the broadcast deals keep going up, but they're making money, these leagues. I think, why can't cricket? Maybe they shouldn't be getting paid $1 million a year to play 6 months of cricket. Why should the players be getting so much more and keep asking for more money when overall their sport's losing money?
Yes, we're certainly paying the players too much. The day of reckoning is coming for these sporting organisations. The television stations have been paying too much money. They've been running sport as lost leaders, and now they can't afford to. So I think sport in Australia has to look forward to the fact there's not going to be so much easy money in the future.
Okay, media analyst Peter Cox, thanks so much for your insights. You can see all Pete's great work at petercox.com.au.
Thanks, mate.
You can call any time, 133353. Gee, didn't you have a bit of a Nana moment yesterday?
Oh, man, this is slightly embarrassing, but I am going to reveal all because it's also kind of funny. So yesterday we had a big meeting planned at 12:15 here at the radio station.
Yeah.
And it was an all-staff affair. And we'd been told by our boss, Dave, that we needed to be here. So I was sitting at my desk and it was about 11:30 and I'd been answering emails and doing some work. And I thought, oh, it's too late to go home because I have to be back by 12:15. I don't want to go to any shops because that'll, you know, be a problem. And we have a very tight car park situation. And I figured if I moved my car, then I would lose my car space and coming back would be an issue. So I thought, that's okay. I'll just go downstairs. I'll have a quick meditation, maybe sort of, you know, a little 40 winks just for 10 minutes or so, which I've done
a
lot.
Do you meditate?
Yeah, I do every day.
How long?
About 20 minutes normally.
Oh, wow.
In the morning.
Is that just the same thing as a sleep?
No, it usually or can lead to sleep. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. So I got in the car at 11:40 thinking, no problem. I'll be out of here by midday, go back upstairs, be ready for the meeting. Life is good. Nope. I fell asleep and did not wake up until 1:00. Yeah, that is an hour and 20 minutes that I was in the car park asleep. In my car.
I thought you were rude not coming to the meeting.
Yeah, no. You could have just yelled over the balcony and said, get up. And it would have been all good.
I didn't even think about it. I just figure if you're not there, you're not there. You just decided.
I know. I mean, but that's so embarrassing.
You're asleep in your own car park.
I was asleep in my own car outside the front of the station.
You slept through a meeting. That's pretty good. I remember once we did a New Year's Eve. We were filming something in and around Brisbane. And it was over New Year's Eve, and there was this big New Year's Eve party that was taking place at this house, like in the middle of the sort of like around the Gold Coast hinterland. And we got wind of it. It was this ticketed event. It was going to be huge. And we all went down and we were having a great time. But there was one bloke who had been tying it on a bit too early.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I'm just going to have, it was about 8:00 we got there, 8:30. He goes, I'll just have a quick nap and then I'll come and see you guys.
He'd had the party before the party, hadn't he?
That's right. Mm. He woke up when we got back to the car at about 4:00 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Slept through the New Year's Eve, the most incredible New Year's Eve party of all time. Just slept through it.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, when you're tired, you're tired. I mean, I am a good sleeper, like if required, because I don't get a lot of it. So when I give my body the chance, it goes, right, we're in.
But that's... wonder if anyone walked past and going, oh, isn't that sad? You would have had a bit of dribble coming down your mouth. Did you have the seat reclined?
Yeah, absolutely. And didn't a memo come out asking who owned the Mazda?
I saw the email this morning, who owned the Mazda in that car park.
Can you please move it?
Because the guys for their drive show, yeah, they have out. Libby has your park in the afternoon. She must have gone, somebody's in my.
I know me, but I was in it.
Like three little bears.
What have you? I'd like to know what you've slept through. What have you slept through?
All right. 1-3-3-5-3.
Yeah, 1-3-3-5-3. What have you slept through? You could have been in a car, could have just been woken up and gone, oh, should have been there. Exams.
Should have been there.
The birth of a baby. Wouldn't that been not a
slept through it?
My father-in-law did that. He slept through the birth of my...
One of his children.
Yeah, one of his kids, the second daughter.
No.
Yeah, because he was tired from taekwondo, so he went into the other room and woke up and got handed a baby. He said, oh, great. Yeah, beauty.
Oh, my God.
It's dedication.
I feel selfish.
Yeah.
Beat that, people.
What have you slept through? Heidi from Fitzgibbon, what did you sleep through?
Hi, sorry, I'm just taking it off hands-free.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Sorry to bother you.
Yeah, sorry. I slept through the V8 supercars.
Now, they're quite loud, Heidi. How did you manage to do that?
I don't know. I guess I don't really find them that interesting.
Where were you that you were able
there.
To
sleep? We were there. I was just standing up, you know, I guess on the Gold Coast, and they've just got the fences at trackside.
Yeah.
And we were just in the standing areas, and I was just leaning and got up against the fence.
You must have had earmuffs on, did you?
No, we did have earplugs from time to time, but just those little funny things that you use on industrial sites, nothing.
Hey.
Yeah.
Just boring.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at doing it wherever I feel like. If I've had enough, it's over. I've done it at many a party, but that's really not that much of a feat
either.
That's
amazing. While the cars are zooming past, you've just gone to sleep. That's fantastic.
Were you standing up?
Standing. Yeah, leaning up against the fence.
Poor sleeping.
It was the first time I was with my partner's parents as well.
Oh, that was
a good impression.
Yeah. did you still end up with your partner? Didn't do any irreparable damage?
No, we're getting married this year, so yeah, no, we're still together.
Oh, good. Well done. Right. What a skill.
Well done, Heidi. Appreciate that. Well
done.
That's pretty good. Corey from Aspley, what did you sleep through, buddy?
Yeah, it wasn't me. It was a colleague at work. We had a national teleconference, video conference, the system would focus on the active speaker.
Oh, I've seen those ones. The camera turns to whoever's speaking.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And anyway, this colleague of ours fell asleep and no one knew any better until he snored. And then the camera flicked at him and he was on the screen.
Oh, I love it. That's so good. Did anyone wake him?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, we couldn't. He was the only one in the office. He was the only one in that office.
That is so fantastic.
Poor bugger. Did he get in trouble or anything when he did wake up?
I don't think so, but it was hilarious from everyone else because we all had our systems on mute, so we were laughing our heads off and no one could hear. So
finally an interesting video conference.
Yeah.
That's
nice
one,
mate.
Thanks, gold. Corey.
Who we got here? Brad from Springfield Lakes. Where did you fall asleep?
In a combi van that rolled on the way back from the Gold Coast.
Were you driving?
No. My mate was driving and he decided to have 5 minutes snooze and... we rolled it, and then he had to wake me up, and all I wanted to tell him was I wanted to go back to sleep.
Hold on. So you slept through the accident?
Yep.
Oh, my God, Brad.
Were you sleeping in the back?
No, in the front. We were down the coast, and we were meeting up with some people, and I was tired. I was buggered, so I thought I'll go have a sleep in the car, strap myself in, which was a lucky thing. And next thing I know, he's waking me up, and I kept telling him, just leave me alone. I just want to sleep. Just want to go back to sleep. And he goes, oh, we've rolled the combi.
Oh, my God.
So you were, the car was on its side?
I was back on all fours.
Hold on. You also slept through that, someone pushing it back on its wheels.
No, it landed back on its wheels, thank God.
It's done a full rotation and landed back on its wheels, and then you've been woken up.
I've been woken up, yep.
Mate,
very impressive.
You should come to the radio station. I reckon, I mean, our meetings probably wouldn't wake you up either. But
put you to sleep.
That is a quite remarkable situation. Well done. You win. Well done, Brad.
You really do, Brad.
Have you got any more prizes?
Friday, mate. Go to Spider Bait. You're going to Spider Bait, New Brisbane date, awesome. Saturday, 20th of May, at the Tivoli, spiderbait.com.au.
Beautiful.
Thanks,
mate,
for ringing,
a huge, loud rock and roll show will be great for some shut eye, Brad.
I'm sure I will.
Bernard Fanning has a new song out today, Ed Cavalli.
Yeah, it's called Isn't It a Pity, guys. Bernard Fanning's been very prolific recently, releasing a lot of new music, Robin and Mardo. Yeah, okay, buddy.
Righto, so impressed. Sorry. He's choking.
I just finished my banana.
Anyway, we're going to have a chat to Bernard about all his great new stuff and also Marto's recent cricket game.
No, don't
which,
worry about
which Bernie has a bit of a
he actually loves
on.
His cricket.
Yeah, he wants to talk to you about it.
Yes, indeed. The new album is called Brutal Dawn. It is out on May 26th, but this is to whet your appetite. The first single from it, Isn't It a Pity, Bernard Fanning. New stuff, brand new stuff from him on Brisbane's Triple M. Marto, Ed and Robin on Brisbane's new Triple M, 17 past 7. That was the new single from Bernard Fanning, Isn't It a Pity. The single out today off the new album Brutal Dawn, which is out May 26th. Working overtime, he's only just released Civil Dusk as well last year. Bernard Fanning, he joins us now. Morning, mate.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Hey, have you seen the video? I saw it yesterday on TV. I didn't understand what it all meant.
Did it go over your head, Marto?
Yeah, all the images.
That's not hard, Bernard. That's really not hard.
But all the images were really weird.
Yeah, that was kind of part of the idea. The artwork for both the records, Civil Dusk and Brutal Dawn, was kind of based on this collage style. And this is kind of the video version of that.
Bernie, but don't worry about
going
me.
Over your head, Marto. Yeah, I heard that you played a game of cricket the other day.
Yeah, okay.
It was a shocker.
Who was batting? Was it Jackie Trapp?
No, it was some. it was some guy from the Australian Army. Craigie's name was. Anyway, listen. How do you go about watching cricket? You've got a Spanish wife, like the rest of us have got wives that don't understand cricket, and they're Australians. How do you go getting away with cricket these days?
Initially, she kind of liked it because she didn't know anything about it because she liked that it was the TV was green and it was really quiet.
I'm with her. That's actually a positive.
But yeah, the novelty wore off pretty fast.
So, Bernard, why have you been so prolific recently? Just got lots of songs and you want to get them out there?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's kind of unusual to put this much music out within a year, I guess. But at the same time, it's been over kind of a 2 and a bit year period that I've been writing as well. So it seems like a lot, but there was a pretty big gap there. I hadn't released a record since 2013. Prior to Civil Dusk. So I have been working, but it all kind of ended up getting a bit bunched up together. We were pretty determined to make an old-style record that was, you know, 10 songs, like an LP that you would get in the olden days. So it ended up being the right idea to put another one out.
Well, what you do, Bern, is you just call it a mixtape. That's what people do these days. You just call it a mixtape and you release it again, mate. That's the modern version. Release a playlist, yeah. Bernard Fanning. What's a day in the life of Bernard Fanning then? You get up, what do you get up about 11, then what?
I actually get up probably around the same time as you guys. I get up about 4:30.
Why?
And
why?
Do what?
Oh, I run a half marathon usually before breakfast. No, I just...
I almost believed you.
You had us there. We had
I get a lot of stuff done in the morning. Yep. Before children start waking up.
Ah, right.
Hey, can you wander down the street and just look like another hippie?
Yeah, it's not a problem.
Yeah, that's not a problem. You live in Byron.
Is that guy in the tie-dye singlet Bernard Fanning? No, that's just another hippie.
Belgium.
Hey, Bernie. Isn't It a Pity is the new single, and the new album, Brutal Dawn, is out on May the 26th. Bernard Fanning, always a pleasure. Wow. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy
Tallis. Tell us. Everyone loves Tell Us. Gordy Tallis, nice to have you with us, buddy. Hey, Gord, I've got a question for you about International Rugby League. So they've changed the eligibility so that now you can swap your allegiance with the country and still play Origin, which means that Andrew Fifita is going to be turning out for Tonga, which means that I think some of the other players too that have previously said no because they want to be eligible for the Blues or Queensland or Australia can now go and play for these smaller nations. That to me seems like an excellent idea, Gordy. What do you think?
Yeah, look, it does. We want them to play the game, and the NRL a couple of years ago thought the biggest star in our game was Sonny Bill Williams. The biggest showcase in our game is State of Origin, but why isn't someone like a Sonny Bill Williams or a Benji Marshall not playing in the biggest game? Well, it is Queensland versus New South Wales, so we got to remember, I'd rather Queensland run out and get beaten with a bunch of Queenslanders than anybody else. So we can't lose the fabric of that. So that's why we put on this international weekend where Tonga will play Samoa, you know, PNG play Fiji and all that. So, but then, if they're born in Australia and that's their heritage, well, it is time for them that they can, at one stage, play Origin if they get good enough down the track and if they're born in Australia.
Hey, good. But two things. How does Chris McQueen, who's played State of Origin and was born in Longreach, how does he play for England? I know England father, but that seems just wrong. And what about Josh Maguire playing for Samoa, despite the fact that he'll be picked for Origin?
Yeah, well, obviously it's a heritage, Marto, and you know, his father might have been born in England or somewhere like that. And
yeah, he was.
How far do you go? Look, mate, how far do you go back, really? Because my grandfather's Scottish. His name's Alexander Gordon MacDonald. I was never going to go play for Scotland because I was born in Australia. My mum and dad were born in Townsville, so I was always going to play for Queensland and Australia. And but that's the way I think, Marto. But some people think different, and maybe it's a chance for them that, you know what, if they don't think that they're going to reach, you know, that's and play for, you know, Australia or Queensland, I think, well, you know, it's a rep jersey and they get to play with better players and, you know, it's on a stage. So why not get out there and play for my grandfather or whatever? Because we see, you know, the Anzac Day march and you see little kids marching for their grandparents.
Yeah, right, they probably never knew them.
Hey, Gordon, right. Just on the game last night, there was a try disallowed for Penrith. All of the commentators, most of them former players, all said it was a try. The bunker.
Try.
No, it was a try. Okay.
Do you reckon that ruined Penrith?
Peter Wallace, when the ball got knocked out of his hand by, I think, Josh Maguire, and it got picked up. And, yeah, look, that's a try. You know what? We whinge about the referees that they don't make decisions. They go up to the bunker. They made a decision. They got it wrong. We can live with it. Penrith then sort of, mate, when you're out of confidence and you're playing the way they have and they've been under the pump, they probably need everything to go their way because you're not as mentally strong as what you are. So it probably did knock them back a little bit. But they fought back in the second half, and there's some positive signs. But the game was gone at halftime, being 22-0 or whatever it was.
Hey, Gordy, while the boys like to talk to you about football, I like to play my own little game with you, which is Where is Gordy Today? And we can hear some interesting stuff in the background. So where are you talking to us from?
Well, the cab driver just thought that he'd have an interview with, I think, the depot to see what they wanted for lunch. And then all of a sudden, I catch a lot of taxis, but I've never had a have a conversation with the depot before.
That's great. Where are you going today? Are you going to Sydney?
No, I'm heading home. Believe it or not, the 97 grand final side is getting together for the first time. Mundine's coming up, I think, Wendell. So all the guys.
Where's that on at?
We're at the Broncos Leagues Club.
What a night.
What a
and the old boys.
Tonight?
No, it's on the stuff. I think tickets are still available. They're $100. Come along. The old boys are having a grand final reunion, and it's great. So every Bronco will be there.
Oh, my
and
God.
This year they are celebrating the 97 side, so the Super League grand final. So
I love that side. That's why I think that might be going close to one of my all-time favourite sides.
Was that, what jersey
Ed,
was
Ed,
that, Gord?
Ed, come on. Ed, come along. Yeah. And I'll make you a green tea with a little splash of honey, especially
for you. Now you're talking.
Now, if you're asking, it's the really good Nike jersey with the sort of the diagonals and the sort of. It's a
not
really
the Travelland one. Was that Travelland?
No, Super League jersey.
Super League had a big S. You know what, Ed? I might even have a couple of those at home.
Oh my God! I'm going to give you that. Here comes the team. Ready? From fullback forward. Lockyer, De Vere, Renoff, Mundine, Saylor, Walters, Kevin, Langer, Allen, Brad Thorne, Andrew G, Shane Webke, Gordon Tallis, Peter Ryan, Darren Smith, Tony Carroll, John Plath, Michael Hancock, Ben Walker.
On the bench. What a bench. Wow. What a team.
Wow.
Man of the match today, Gordy. John Plath. Was he settled down?
Do you know what he might be? You know what he might look. Alan Lang is always hard to beat on a bigger occasion. On a big occasion, Alf always lives. But in that game, I remember Steve Renouf scoring 3 tries. So hopefully, he gets up there and tells a story. And Mundy and all they get up there, and Lockie and the boys. So
get down to the Broncos.
Go along. Broncos Leagues Club, which is a great place anyway.
Yeah, if anybody brings those jerseys, bring a jersey along and we'll sign it. Probably have holes in it by now. It's that old.
Good on you. All right, Gordy, that'll be great, mate. Have a great night.
Pleasure, guys. Talk to you soon.